We're going to read a few verses from the Psalms to begin with today. I have a few verses I'd like to read from a few different Psalms, and I'll just read them in succession and we'll take a look at the subject of these verses. The first I'll read from is Psalm 6, and I'm going to read from verse 2. Psalm 6, verse 2. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? We'll stop there in that psalm and then turn to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, read a couple verses here, beginning with verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And then we'll pause there and turn ahead to Psalm 74, Psalm 74, and in this psalm, I'm going to read verse 9, Psalm 74, verse 9. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. O God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? And then we'll turn to Psalm 89, Psalm 89, verse 46, Psalm 89, verse 46. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Just pause there in that psalm. And then one more, Psalm 90, next psalm, and Psalm 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. These psalms, you probably have noticed the common theme in these psalms, this idea of the psalm writer in each of these cases saying to God, how long? How long is it going to be, Lord? How long is this situation going to last? How long are we going to be experiencing the trouble that we experience? And in a sense, the prayer, the question is not really answered directly. We don't hear God breaking in and saying, well, it'll be 3 months, or well, it'll be 5 years. The psalmist doesn't really get an answer like that in any of these psalms. It's actually a kind of a common theme in the psalms. There are 14 or 15 different times where God is addressed by different psalm writers saying, how long? In some of them, actually, God is not addressed with that phrase, but the psalm writer speaks to the people who are speaking against him or are troubling him. And he says, how long are you going to be troubling me? But in a sense, he also is saying that in the presence of the Lord, because these psalms were obviously written as songs that the writer would sing to God or would express to God. And this situation that the psalmist was facing, sometimes they were personal sorrows. Sometimes it was a sense of judgment from God. In the case of Psalm 74, just turn back to that one. It's an interesting passage, Psalm 74, where the writer is describing how it seems God has forsaken his people. The enemy has come in and destroyed the sanctuary. They are breaking down or breaking apart the dwelling place of the name of the Lord. There in verse 7, they're setting fire to the sanctuary. And the psalm writer there says, we do not see our signs. There's no prophet. They're having conversations. Everybody is looking for information. And no one is giving them a word from the Lord. No one is explaining how long it's going to be before the enemy is stopped in their progress. And it's very difficult when we don't know how long things are going to last. We're obviously in the middle of a difficult time right now. People are staying home. People are asking questions about their health. The government is setting up restrictions on travel. The health concerns and the coronavirus news, it's everywhere. And if somebody said, okay, it's going to be 10 days, all right, then we can mark them off the calendar. If someone said it's going to be 60 days, well, that's a lot longer, but we would know. But when it's undefined like that, it can be very difficult to be troubled, to be unsettled, to be uncertain about all the things that we're going through. And so there are a couple of things that I think we can, first of all, recognize about the reality of the things that we're going through. First of all, it can be encouraging to realize that this is sort of just part of the human experience. It's not uncommon for people to ask questions like that. You're not alone if you are asking those kind of questions. I wish I knew how long. I wish I knew what God was going to do next. I wish I knew how long this trial would persist. In the case of the Psalms, a lot of times it's enemies coming against them, literal nations that are waging war against the people of God, or literal enemies who are attacking a faithful servant of God, and they are slandering him, they're reproaching him, they're causing distress. In our case, in our society right now, in our own experience right now, it's not that way. But it can be encouraging to realize that when we feel that way, it's just part of a human response to the things that are undefined and a little unclear as to how they're going to progress. But the scriptures do have some examples for us about what to do. And I would just like to suggest three things that we can do to help encourage us and help stabilize us as we are asking these questions, how long? And the first one is going to be that we can pray and faint not. Pray and persist in prayer. I'm going to turn to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, it says in verse 1 that the Lord Jesus is speaking. He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And then he tells this parable about a judge who was unjust. He did not really care about justice, but there was a widow who came and needed justice from him. There was an adversary coming against her, trying to take her possessions. And this unjust judge, he didn't really care about justice. And so this was just a poor widow. She wasn't going to make his life any better, so he didn't really care. And yet, then he said, she's coming every day. She continually comes to me. She keeps on coming. She's going to weary me, it says in verse 5. By her continual coming, she might weary me. And so eventually the judge took up her cause and was willing to execute justice just for the sake of getting rid of this persistent person. And the Lord Jesus says that the purpose of this parable is to encourage us not to stop praying. Even an unjust judge would respond to someone's prayer. And the Lord Jesus says, shall not God avenge his own elect? Verse 7, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? A long wait never means that God has forgotten us. Even though he changes the timing of things from what we might prefer, he will take up our cause. He will remember us. And so we should pray and we should persist. Pray instead of fainting. Pray instead of losing heart. Another example is when Elijah was on the mountain praying for rain. He sent his servant 7 times looking to see if there was rain. He didn't just stop after 1 time of prayer, 2 times of prayer. He sent his servant, look again. I'm waiting for God to answer. Elijah prayed and he persisted in prayer. And there was another time in Luke chapter 11 where the Lord Jesus talks about a friend who has a guest come to him, and he goes to his neighbor and he says, well, I have a guest who came and I need some food. I need some bread. And it's the middle of the night, but my friend needs food. And the man who's inside, they are friends, but the man says, I'm not going to get up now. It's the middle of the night. But it says there, Luke 11, verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And the point here is, again, if a friend would eventually give in to his persistent neighbor, wouldn't God give in to us? Wouldn't God respond to us? Not in an unwilling way like this neighbor did, but in a very willing way. He cares for us as a father. So while we're waiting for God to act, while we don't know how long it is, we pray and we persist. We pray and persist instead of fainting. So a second thing that we can do, turning back to the Psalms, a second thing that we can do is we can wait. So we pray without fainting, and we wait. We believe. We trust that God is going to act. I'm just going to turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, the verse in the New King James Version says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Some translations in the beginning of verse 13 say, I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. That phrase, if you have a Bible that has italicized print for words that have been added for the sense, that whole phrase is added to give the sense. Some translations don't put any phrase there and just leave it like a dangling expression. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, and just have a dash and an exclamation point, like, what would have happened? I don't even know what would have happened. The psalm writer is saying, the key thing is, I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. And if I didn't believe, who knows where I might have ended up. And so in the time of waiting, we believe. We believe instead of fainting. We believe while waiting. We believe that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Trust in him. Look expectantly to see what he's going to do. So in the time of saying how long, while we're waiting for God to act, while we're waiting for God to help us, while we're waiting for God to bring an end to whatever it is that we're facing, we first can pray without fainting. We can wait and believe without fainting. And then one more, just turning to Galatians 6, Galatians chapter 6. And in this verse, we have one more recommendation, one more exhortation for us. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Some translations say, if we do not faint. And so the third exhortation is we do good. While we're waiting, we do good. The idea here of reaping implies that the things that we're doing that are good are like planting. And nobody plants seeds one day and goes expecting to see growth the next day. Seeds always take a while to grow. In school, students in younger grades, they often have an experiment where they put bean seeds in a wet paper towel, and they put the wet paper towel in a bag, and you add a little water every day to keep it moist. Bean seeds actually sprout pretty quickly, so within just a couple of days, you can see that there's some progress. But of course, there's no beans growing right away. Nobody is actually harvesting any beans within 3 or 4 days. So we're reminded by the scriptures that if there's going to be any reaping, if there's going to be a harvest, it takes time. There's going to be some waiting involved. So what do? While we're waiting, we do good. We don't grow weary. We do good, and we don't faint. We don't lose heart. It's very necessary for us to realize that when we're waiting for God to act, that A, it's a common experience. We don't have to feel that God is singling us out. We don't have to feel that God is making our lives difficult in particular. And of course, in this current situation, we know that everybody is facing similar needs. But we have God to trust in. What are we going to do? Well, we can pray. We can wait and believe. We can do good and expect a harvest. And all of these things will help us not to faint. All of these verses have this idea of praying and not fainting, believing and not fainting, doing good and not fainting, not giving up. And we can see just one more verse to close this little thought. 2 Corinthians 4, we can see that there is more going on below the surface than above the surface, or there should be anyway. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not faint. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there's the outward self and there's the inward self. The inner life can be nourished. We don't need to depend on external circumstances in order to nourish our inner selves. So So what are we doing with our inner selves? We can't do our normal activities. We don't go to work the same way we always did. We don't go shopping the same way we always did. We don't spend time with our friends in the same way, and our families either. So our outward selves, our external lives, are not what they usually are. But our inner selves can be renewed day by day. We want to nourish our inner selves, and we do so by praying, by trusting God, believing, and by doing good. And there's plenty of good to do, even if we're in our homes. Online resources are full of opportunities for connecting with others at a distance. Our neighbors, we may be able to reach them and provide assistance for those who need help, and a word of encouragement to those who are distressed. There's plenty of good to do. So when we realize that our inner selves can be renewed day by day, and even more that we're looking at the eternal results, God is going to use this period of weeks. We have these changes imposed upon us because of health concerns and governmental restrictions and all of this. God is going to use this. He is not sitting just waiting for these restrictions to be lifted so finally he can get back to work. He's working now, so we should be working too. We might say, "How long, O Lord?" But the answer is elusive. However, even though it's elusive, we can pray and we can believe and we can do good. So may the Lord encourage us to continue doing the things that would honor him, even when life externally has become very strange, very unusual. But our internal lives, our internal selves, our souls and spirits, God is nourishing us and wants to continue to nourish us so that we can also encourage and nourish one another in our confidence, the confidence that we have in Christ. May the Lord help us. We'll just have a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful that we can trust you for all the things that confuse us. You knew already, not only last year, but in eternity past, you knew what our time was going to be like right now in 2020, this month, this day. And we pray that you will help us to trust you, help us to not lose heart, help us not to faint under the unusual circumstances, help us to have your peace fill our hearts, to have the confidence that you have not forgotten us. And we thank you for your faithful care, that as a father, you continue to care for us. We pray for each one who is in special need for whatever reason. We pray for one another. Even while we're not able to be in the same space, we can still pray for each other, and we do so. We give thanks that we can trust in you to watch over our loved ones and to watch over ourselves, and we pray that you will help to nourish us in our souls. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.